Any visitors in here this morning? For the first time visitors? None this morning? Lucas looks like he's raising his hand. Just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding. All right.
Okay.
Brother Barry, would you open us up in prayer, please?
Father, we invite your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come to your house, to be with your people, Lord, gather around your precious word. I pray for my brother this morning. I pray you put a hedge of protection about him. I pray you give him that holy unction to teach what you've laid upon his heart. And I pray for receptive hearts that we might be able to take in and absorb the word of God like our own lives. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. I appreciate that. If you will, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. We ended up last week, Romans 1, 4. So we're going to continue on here, and we're going to start Romans 1, 5 here. Talked about how he was confirmed to be the Son of God by the resurrection. We talked about his bloodline. We went to Luke 3, and we went to Matthew chapter 1. We compared those things. We talked about how Paul, his ministry began first as a servant, and then he was called, and then he was separated under the gospel. And so those things were important that you understand the order and Paul in his ministry. But he says in verse 5, he says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now notice that he receives grace. Grace is something that you get that you do not deserve, right? And so many times people oftentimes connect that just with salvation, but grace is something that God gives you. And we look at the gifts that God gave, and he gives every man according to that grace. And some have a grace for teaching or preaching or the gift of helps or any of those kind of different graces that God gives. And so you can tell when a man's been given those graces, okay? Paul was given a grace, and he was given a grace to understand the mysteries of the gospel, of the grace of God, and not only that, but more things than that. We'll get into that. But I want you to notice here, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So we're going to teach on progressive revelation. I know you've heard that many times, probably Pastor has mentioned progressive revelation. So I'm going to give, this is a good chance to take a pause and teach on that thing. And I want you to notice verse 5 again. It says, for obedience to the faith. So obedience is connected with faith. You might have somebody who's Church of Christ who thinks that obedience has to do with being baptized. Okay, that obedience is connected with faith. And I'm going to show you that in Scripture, okay? Go over here to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. These are familiar passages, but I want to hopefully clear some things up for you. Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? So when he's quoting that in Romans 10:16, he's quoting from Isaiah 53:1. Now, if you remember, I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago, I talked about that Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. What was he reading out of? He was reading out of Isaiah 53. All right, so let's look at Isaiah 53 real quick. I want you to notice this. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. And I went over this, I think, last time, but let's look at it again. Isaiah 53, verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, who's he talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ, obviously. Now, the first part is God the Father. He sees the travail of his soul, and he's satisfied. But look at that, my righteous servant justify many. See the justification? Remember I talked about Romans being all about being justified by faith plus nothing. So you see the justification here, and we're going to get into some of the stuff. This is the book of Acts, and I'm going to go as quickly as I can through that and see how that thing progressed. But you'll see that Ethiopian eunuch was reading out of Isaiah 53, and he's talking about justification by the blood atonement. Okay? So you see that he believed the report. That's what he believed. He was reading Isaiah 53, and he said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he said, "If thou believest." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." It's that simple. He believed the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How'd you get saved? By hearing the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you heard it and you understood it applied to you, you took that lamb and made it your personal lamb, him, and you said, "That's me. I need a payment. I need that atonement for my sin." Okay? And so he's going to justify many. Okay? And but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, right? Who's the many? Whosoever. As many as would receive him. That's the many. Okay? We're not going to get into Calvin and all his decrees and election and all that nonsense, but I just want you to see that in Romans 10:16. Now let's go to Romans 16. Romans 16:25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." When Paul says my gospel, he's not just talking about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's also talking about both Jew and Gentile in the body. He's talking about the rapture. He's talking about the second advent. He's talking about all the things that Paul was given to understand the mysteries, okay, concerning the church and also the second advent, okay? And we're not going to get into all of that, but when he says my gospel, it's all-encompassing. When he says the gospel, like in 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. But when he says my gospel, that's the mysteries that God gave to Paul, that grace he gave to Paul to understand, okay? "And preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery," just like I talked about, okay, "which was kept secret since the world began." They did not know it. This is a mystery given to Paul, okay? "But now was made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." There it is again. See how obedience and faith is connected with that obedience to all nations. Okay, so we have to understand some things here. And look at the, he says, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. What's the commandment? Go to 1 John. 1 John 3, verse 23. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." Any question about the commandment? You're to believe on his Son. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, so those things are connected. You've got to believe the book. You've got to believe what it says. This is his commandment. Somebody misses that, that's their fault. Okay, it's our job to give it out. It's our job to catch them. God cleans them up. Okay, but here it is. And we'll get more into in Romans chapter 1. We'll get into all the Gentiles and all that stuff. But I want you to see this here. "Now look, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." But before that, he says, "And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment." Okay, so let's look back here. Let's go to Acts 15, and then I want to take you back to Isaiah. Let's look at the Apostle Peter in Acts 15. This is the council at Jerusalem, and we'll get to that over there on the board. But I want you to notice this here, because the beginning of the book of Acts, he's saying, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Real simple question. When you got saved, did you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost at that moment? Did you have to wait for an apostle to lay his hands on you to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? No, you did not. But in the beginning part of the book of Acts, they did. So you need to understand there's some differences between the first part of the book of Acts and as it progresses, the progressive revelation, when Paul shows up on the scene. That trips people up, because oftentimes when people go to the book of Acts for their doctrines, that's where they get tripped up. Okay, because they don't understand the scripture and how it progresses. All right, Acts 15, look at verse 7. "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Now this is Acts 10 that he's referring to. "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them," watch this, "purifying their hearts by faith." They believed. What purified their hearts? By the renewing of the Holy Ghost, by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Who did the renewing? The Holy Ghost. He washed. He renewed them. Okay? It wasn't water. It was the Holy Ghost. And he said, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. So at this point in Acts 15, the grace of the gospel, the grace of God has been firmly established. Okay? Now let's go back to Isaiah 28. We talked about the prophets. Isaiah chapter 28. Look at about verse 11. I'm sorry, verse 9. Isaiah 28, 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? What's the first reason that Scripture is given for doctrine? All right? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, so they're not on milk, they're meat. This is meat. Okay? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. What's that? Scripture with Scripture. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. How do we get the book? We interpret it with the book. Okay? For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now stop right there. What is he prophesying about? He's prophesying about Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts 2. This is where the holiness folks get all tripped up. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now that's other languages. All right, now let's look at the reason the Lord does this. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. Let the Bible define itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, watch what he quotes. 1 Corinthians 14, 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. What did he just quote in 1 Corinthians 14? Isaiah 28. That's what he's quoting. So you know the context, you know exactly where you're supposed to be, what he's referring to. But he says, and yet all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. In hearing by the word of God. It's written down in the prophets. Now look, verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So tongues are for unbelievers. Okay, tongues are for a sign. That's why in the book of Acts, every time you'll see somebody speaking in tongues, there's an unbelieving Jew present. That's important. Okay, all this tongues movement nonsense out there that you take them to the scripture and you take them to 1 Corinthians 14 and you give them the context and they still get mad. And they run off because they're little babies. That's what he says about them right here in 1 Corinthians. He says, brethren, be not in understanding, be children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. He said, you're little children. I'm not going to get into Corinth what he was doing, why he was teaching this thing here, but you see right there, tongues are for a sign. Now, why is that such an important thing for the Jew? The Jew requires a sign. Why? We'll go back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 8. The first time the word sign ever shows up in your Bible is this verse right here. Okay? It says, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So Israel, as a nation, was founded on signs. Okay? And that second sign, the latter sign he's talking about, is the gift of healing. He puts his hand into his bosom, brings it out, it's leprous. He puts it back in, brings it back out, it's healed. That's why when the Messiah showed up, that's why he did healing. He's connecting himself to the Old Testament prophecies about himself. Signs, wonders, and miracles. That's what he was to do. The signs of the apostles, they carried on that. They could raise the dead. You see anybody out here raising the dead? Somebody says they're an apostle, raise the dead, heal the sick. Go to the cancer wards. I mean, you had the Pope over there during COVID. Italy got hit real hard with COVID. Why wasn't he in there healing the sick? If he says he's an apostle, put him to it. Okay, man, put your money where your mouth is. You say you got the signs of the apostles, not some little, you know, put some handkerchief out, not that nonsense. I'm talking about real ones. Raising the dead, healing the sick. Okay, that's why those things, that's why the Jew requires that sign, because they were started with signs. Just like when the Antichrist shows up, guess what he shows up with? Signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? He's the counterfeit. Okay? So we understand it. So those signs, that's what tongues are for. Okay? And you'll understand that Acts 18, we'll get into it, but the reason he gives that there is because Corinth was a port city. It's about 400,000 people. There was many people coming in and out of there, so they needed that gift of tongues so they could give the gospel out to people that could not understand that language in Greek. Okay, they could understand. That's why they had the gift of tongues. So they give the gospel out, so that they could edify. Okay? All right, so let's go back to Acts. Where was I at? In Isaiah, 28. So that's what he's quoting here in Isaiah 28. All right, let's continue on. 28:11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Okay, he says, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. They wouldn't come to him. They would not hear. Once again, there's that hearing. Every time, either the Lord Jesus Christ or Paul, when he would come into those different cities, he'd go to those synagogues and he'd go to that Jew first. What would he do? He'd reason with them out of the scriptures. Because this is how you hear God. And they wouldn't believe him. Okay? He said they would not hear. But look at verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now, I'm going to write this up here. What you see in the book of Acts, well, you see them stumble, you see them fall, and you see them diminished. Go to Romans 11. And I'll exposit that passage more, but what you have right here, here's Calvary. At the beginning of the book of Acts, that Jew is on top, that Gentile's on the bottom. Okay? And as we continue to go down, that Jew, as a nation, notice I said as a nation, begins to go down, and that Gentile begins to come up. Go to Romans 11, verse 11. Look at this thing here. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? See that? Stumble, fall, diminishing. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So, we understand, the beginning of the book of Acts, like I said, right now the Gentiles on top, and the Jews on the bottom. What's going to happen in the millennium? It's going to flip back. That Jews on top, the Gentiles on the bottom. What you see going on in Israel right now is God prepping that ground for the whole world to come against them as Zephaniah 3:8, and he's going to step on them. But because their unbelief, the Gentile gets grafted in. Now look here. See Acts chapter 7? That's an important chapter, because what happens in Acts chapter 7 is the stoning of Stephen. Go to Acts chapter 7. Trying to show you how we get to the book of Romans. We're firmly established in the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God. That's what we preach. At the beginning of this thing, guess what gospel is being preached? Kingdom. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Okay, Brother Barry just preached on that, I think, a couple weeks ago in Genesis 24. All right? So that kingdom's being preached. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's around the corner. But he keeps giving them the word, keeps giving them the word. They keep rejecting it. Stoning of Stephen. All right? Look at Acts chapter 7. Verse 54. Well, verse 51, he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. That's what he said in Isaiah 28. They would not hear. Okay, look at 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on them with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, where's he at now? Is he standing or sitting? He's sitting. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But he's standing right there. That's a big deal, because when Jesus Christ stands up, he's ready to come back. But what's he do? He sits back down. Oh, by the way, the only time the Lord ever got up to stand was for a street preacher, but I digress, you know. Anyways, so you see Jesus standing at the right hand of God, okay? And I don't have time to run the references on all the prophetic meetings there, but he says this, and he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried aloud, so and so forth, and then he falls asleep, and Stephen is stoned, and that is the last time that you see any miracles done in Jerusalem. That's it. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. That's what he told them, right? It's the last time you see any miracles done there. He says, okay. Boom. And then we have Acts chapter 8. We've just talked about that at length. Who's saved? Ethiopian eunuch. And how is he saved? By grace through faith plus nothing. Justification by faith plus nothing. He receives the Holy Ghost just like you and me. And who's he from? He's an Ethiopian, so who's he from? Three sons of Noah. Ham. There we go. All right. Ham is Africa. Genesis 9:25 says he's supposed to be a servant of servants. And that's the first one saved by grace through faith, plus nothing. Amen? Now, we go to Acts chapter 9. Who's saved in Acts chapter 9? Who's been reading their Bible? Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus. That's the Apostle Paul. Okay? Of the three sons of Noah, which one does he come from? Shem. Okay? So there's Shem. Notice how people are getting saved individually, not nations, individually by grace through faith, right? Acts chapter 10. Who's saved in Acts chapter 10? Last son of Noah. Japheth. There's Japheth. There's the three sons of Noah being brought back in to the fold. Amen? I'll show you something here. Look at this. You remember the feeding of the 5,000? He said, gather up 12 baskets. All right? Go to Deuteronomy 32 real quick. Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse 7. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask thy father, and he will shew thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel, which is what? 12. So he said, go up, go ye into all the world, gather them up. 12 baskets. Not just the nations, not just the tribes of Israel, but the Gentiles. Amen? So right here, you've got them split up after the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. You had the Table of Nations in Genesis 10, right? That's a Gentile number. He splits them up. Now he's bringing them back in individually by grace through faith. Why? Because that you rejected them. Okay, give to them. Go to Matthew 21. Look what the Lord tells them. Look at Matthew 21. Scripture is scripture. It's all right here. Look at Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. There's the stumbling stone. There's Jesus Christ. Remember, they stumbled, they fell, and they're diminished. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it grind him to powder. That's Daniel chapter 2. When that stone cut out of the mountain without hands crushes the Gentile nations. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them, and he was. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. So he prophesies this very thing. They wouldn't listen. He said, okay, fine, I'll take it from you, I'll give it to another nation, and I'll provoke you to jealousy. That's the same thing that's been going on for 2,000 years. Now, so this thing, that Jew begins to get diminished. He comes down. We go to Acts chapter 13. Go to Acts 13. Just trying to give you a run through on how we got up here to Romans. Acts chapter 13. This is in Galatia. As he begins, well, before he gets to Galatia, Turkey, Asia Minor, well, this is Galatia, yes, it is. It's Antioch, and then he goes up through there. But look at verse 13, 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it far from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. All right? So we started over here in Jerusalem. Philip's preaching down here in Samaria. It's Acts chapter 8. Saul of Tarsus gets called out. Cornelius, he's a Roman. He's an Italian. He gets called out. Okay. Acts 13, the Jews reject it. Okay, now we're up in Asia Minor. So Jerusalem, Samaria, or Judea, Samaria. And it starts going east to west. Galatia. Okay. We get over here. Acts 18, this is Corinth, this is Greece. Okay? Let me backtrack here to Acts chapter 10 because I don't want you to miss this part. Acts chapter 10, we just talked about this earlier. Notice it's the number of the Gentile. This is where the Lord says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Right? Now, who did the Lord give the keys to? To the kingdom. Peter. What are keys for? Unlocking doors. Okay, so when he says, rise, Peter, kill and eat, what's Peter do with him? With the Lord, what's he do? He argues. Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. Why? Because he's a Jew. Now here's something that'll mess you up. Could Peter have eaten lobster? When he said in John chapter 20, he says, come and dine. Could he have eaten lobster? Sure he could have. But did he know it? No. Colossians 2, was it 14? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which is contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That Levitical law was done away with in Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So now it's justification by faith, and he says, here, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter doesn't know it yet. See the progressive revelation? He doesn't have a clue that God's going to open that door to the Gentile because of the rejection of that Jew to the word. He says, okay, fine, I'll give it to these Gentiles. Amen? All right, look at Acts chapter 10. Oh, let's see over here. Verse 11. And saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, and as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. He said, it's clean. What are those beasts on that great sheet? What do those things represent? Gentiles. They're unclean animals. Okay? That's what the Gentiles made their gods out of. As we get through Romans chapter 1, I'll show that to you. But that's what that thing represented. And he sees those unclean animals. He says, not so. And he says, they're clean. Okay, go back to Hosea chapter 2. I know we're running a lot of references, but you got to compare scriptures, and you have to be able to see these things through the scripture. Look at this in Hosea 2:18. Hosea 2:18, and in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of the heaven, and the creeping things of the ground. Now you see the order in which he says that? What did you just read in Acts 10? Now, you got to be careful with Paul, because and the Bible in general. What the Lord's showing you there in Acts 10, that's a practical or spiritual application of that covenant right there in Hebrews or Hosea chapter 2. Paul applies that thing. We'll see it over there in Romans 9:25. He applies that thing to the Gentile. But doctrinally, you know where that thing fits in? Anybody? That thing fits in the millennium. Because that wolf is going to lay down with the lamb. Isaiah chapter 11. So doctrinally, that thing has to do with that Jew in the millennium. Practically, Paul applies it to the church, and so does the Lord himself. That's the great sheet. That's what that thing represents, is Gentiles. Okay? We tracking? Okay, now let's go back to Acts 14. We just talked about what those keys were for that Peter has. Now look what Paul says. You'll see a transference in the book of Acts from Peter at the beginning to Paul at the end. It's like a baton. It's like a race, right? Look at Acts 14:27. It says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. See that key? Gone to the Gentile. Okay? We already covered Acts 15, which is the council at Jerusalem, how Peter confirms what Paul was preaching, that by grace they're saved, just as we are. Acts 18. Go to Acts 18. That's at Corinth. Acts 18:6, and when they had opposed, this is the Jews, and when they had opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Once again, east to west. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, now Galatia, now Greece. All right? Now go to Acts 28. Acts chapter 28. Look at verse 25. Well, look at verse 24. 28:24. This is when Paul is in Rome. He's in prison the first time. It's about 62 or so AD. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Same case today. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So that's the third time in the book of Acts Paul says that. Salvation gone to the Gentile. Now he's in Rome, which is right over here. Isn't it amazing how the translators laid this book out? You go from Jerusalem to the Gentile here with the Romans. Who was in power at the time? The Roman Empire. That was the known world. They were the ones that was the big dogs, right? So it goes there, and then guess what it's going to go back to? Jerusalem. It's going to go back there in the tribulation. Okay? So I want you to notice, look at what he's quoting here. Go back to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse This is what he quoted. Isaiah 6:9, he said, "And tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat," and so on and so forth. We just read that verse, right? "Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant." Where's that? What time period does that stick in? Where does that fit, that verse? "Till the cities be wasted without inhabitant." How long? Tribulation. That's what those souls under the altar ask in Revelation 6:10. How long, Lord? He tells them right here. Till that thing's wiped out, and then he comes back and saves them. Salvation's going to come from the Lord. All right? But I want you to notice one last thing here in that verse. If you ever remember reading in the book of Acts, I'll just leave it there. In the book of Acts, Paul gives his testimony twice. Okay? I think it's in Acts 22 and in Acts, you see it in Acts 9. He says it again in Acts 22. But you'll notice the company that's with Paul. He says the first time some of them saw but didn't hear. The other group heard but didn't see. And who was that group with him? Jews. Notice they had to both hear and see and be converted. Amen? Guess Pastor talked about, I think it was last Sunday, how that the Lord's going to reveal himself to that Jew. They're both going to see him and they're going to hear him and they're going to be converted to Christ. Amen? Now here's another thing. We're talking about Joseph. Being the type, greatest type in the entire Bible, 155 particulars about Joseph. The first time that he comes to those, to his brethren, he speaks roughly to them. They don't recognize his voice, and he doesn't speak nicely to them. When you got saved, he spoke roughly to you. He said, "You're a sinner." He reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Right? But the second time, they're going to recognize him, they're going to see him, they're going to be converted, and they're going to be healed. He's going to fulfill Scripture. Scripture is Scripture. Why can't all the scholars get it? They don't believe the book. That's all we're doing. We're just running the references. Running references. Painting the picture, showing you that progressive revelation. All right? So, we understand, like I said, it went from Peter to Paul. Now we're firmly established in the book of Romans, trying to lay some groundwork, because next week we'll talk about how God dealt with the Gentile nations and all that stuff. But you have to understand the argument that Paul's laying out, why he's laying that thing out. Okay? And how this thing transitioned and how it progressed to where we're at now, where we've been for 2,000 years. Okay? But what's it going to shift back to in the tribulation? What are they going to be preaching? The kingdom gospel. Go to Matthew 24. I got just a second here. People say there's no difference. You better believe there's a difference. Matthew 24. This is where people get tripped up, think you can lose your salvation because they took something that's doctrinally supposed to be in the church age or the tribulation, put it in the wrong spot. Matthew 24, 13. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And this gospel of the what? Kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto who? All nations. And then shall the end come. He's dealing with nations in the tribulation. What's the end? Well, go to Daniel. Go to Daniel 7. You don't need to run to the Greek and the Hebrew. Stuff wears me out. Compare scriptures. Look at Daniel 7:26. It's got to rightly divide the word of truth, as Paul told you to do. "But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end." Who's he talking about? The judgment shall sit. Matthew 25, the judgment of the nations. Okay? The Lord's going to judge the nations. He's going to take away whose dominion? The Antichrist. He shall destroy it even unto the end. What's the end? Go to Matthew 13. Just running a few references here to show you these things. The Bible defines itself. He gives the parable of the wheat and the tares. Look at Matthew 13, 38. "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. That's Revelation 14. And the reapers are the angels. And it tells you that. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. What's that? This world economy. The God of this world who's in charge through the permissive will of God, which is Satan, he's going to get crushed. And that kingdom goes back to who? Jesus Christ. And he's going to reign forever and ever. So that end is the tribulation. What we're in right now is the church age. We're saved by grace through faith, and we're getting out of here. We're not appointed to wrath. Okay, I'm a Bible believer. I believe the book. You can call it whatever you want. People, well, you're dispensationalist, or some people have even accused me of being a hyper-dispensationalist. Listen, man, I believe the book. Before I ever knew anything and I had any education on this book, I read Zechariah 14, and I saw over there where people were going up to worship at the Feast of Tabernacles. They had to come up and worship at the Feast of Tabernacles, or the plagues of Egypt be put upon them. And I said, well, that ain't me. It's got to be somebody. Before I ever knew anything about this book, how did I know that? Well, it's simple. To the wise, all things are simple. God makes the thing simple if you believe the book. The problem is people in their educations educate them out of this book, and they go to the Greek and the Hebrew and everything else, and they think they need that, and you don't need it. It can be helpful. Sometimes I use it, but it's not necessary to get the book. What do you need? The Holy Spirit. He guides you into all truth. How'd you get all? Well, it's called repetition. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You're not going to get it all in one sitting. You're going to have to work. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? Can't cut corners. If you want to strive for mastery, you got to strive lawfully. Amen? Amen. Okay. So we got through one verse today, and I'm laying some groundwork here for the rest of the book of Romans, and I hope that cleared some things up for you in the book of Acts. Don't get tripped up in Acts or Hebrews or James or any of those other transitional books. You got to understand where you're at now and what it's flipping back to. It's about to get there. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and stop there. All right, Father, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time, and pray that edified, and I pray that folks got something out of this and that they learned, could take it home and study their Bibles for themselves, learn how to rightly divide and just compare Scripture to Scripture and all the things you blessed me to be able to do, and you blessed me to be able to see, and I just pray that they be able to see the same things. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. All right.